I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning, and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. This is the place where you will find the stories behind the stories, the truth behind the headlines, the lying mainstream media, and the ridiculous two-party propaganda. This is Central Mississippi's safe space for independent thinking. I appreciate you joining me today. Today is Wednesday. As it is Wednesday, in the second hour of today's show, we will do a break from politics, from current events, give you an opportunity to reclaim your health. Central Mississippi needs this. This is the radically different health show. I think the only alternative health show, certainly in this area, at least that I know of. It is Hump Day Health today. We're going to have Brandy Vaughn on. She's a former pharmaceutical sales rep with Merck Pharmaceuticals, and now she's a whistleblower on Big Pharma, and we're going to talk vaccines, too. There's this talk about the measles vaccine. I put a post on my Facebook page, The Mike Madison Show, that I thought was very interesting. It has a chart in it in particular that's extremely interesting to me. It talks about the mortality of measles, and it shows from, I can't remember the time frame, but leading up to, I believe, 1963 when the measles vaccine was introduced. If you look at this chart, you will see that the mortality from measles was dropping precipitously for many, many years prior to the vaccine. And what I've come to learn from a lot of these things is the biggest things that have been, for human health and avoiding contracting and ultimately succumbing to so many diseases was more in lines with hygiene, with sanitation, those kinds of things, rather than just the vaccine. But we're going to talk about those things today as in light of this new measles outbreak, which is being immediately pounced upon by the mainstream media and a lot of people as being a situation of those crazy anti-vaxxers. It's interesting to me to speak to a conservative audience who understands that the mainstream media is just terrible about so many things. They constantly lie about Donald Trump. They constantly shift left and are being dishonest in reporting the news. But they get it right that Iran's bad. But they get it right that Maduro is bad in Venezuela. But they get it right about the vaccines. What are the chances of that? And these are also news organizations that rely heavily on pharmaceutical company marketing. So anyway, we'll talk to Brandy Vaughn next hour. This hour, we got plenty to get to in the political world. First thing first, it didn't take me long to be wrong yesterday. And here it is. Here it is, people. It's so easy and so freeing to just say, boy, was I wrong. I thought I had an inside source. I still haven't scolded my secondhand source who passed this news on to me. As I reported yesterday that a big muckety-muck in the Democratic Party, a pretty high-dollar person in the Democratic Party, had said that Mike Bloomberg was going to be the nominee for the Democratic Party, all said and done. And as I said yesterday, I was surprised to hear that they would end up using a white billionaire as their standard-bearer. But it turns out that information was not right, or there's going to be some big U-turn at some point, because Michael Bloomberg came out yesterday and said that he is not running. He has, however, committed $500 million, I believe, to defeating Donald Trump. This is the former Republican mayor of New York City, Michael Bloomberg. You know, it's very interesting in watching these candidates on the Democratic side, and I'm really still a little sick of the fact that I'm even talking about this right now. It just drives me nuts that 2 years, these elections should be 8 weeks. I mean, we got 24 hours a day worth of news for 8 weeks. That should be plenty of time for everybody to make their case. But no, we're constantly subject to campaigning for federal offices. It never stops, and I believe it's part of the conditioning of the American people to believe that the federal government is so important for you. You know, they've made themselves indispensable because they meddle into every aspect of our lives, so we're all concerned about who's going to be pulling the levers of power. So the Democrats, I don't want to tell them, so don't anybody tell them. This will just be a secret. I have a way. I believe that we're first quarter GDP is being predicted right now to be a 0.3%. 0.3%. Now, whether with revisions we actually hit 3% of total GDP growth, which was really the goal of the Trump administration, was to hit 3% GDP growth. And if they might have gotten there by the skin of their teeth, we'll see. But there's a very good chance that they did not get 3% growth. The first quarter of this year, 0.3%. It's headed in the wrong direction. I believe Trump's going to be very vulnerable if the economy is not doing well, and I suspect that's going to be the case. All you have to do, Democrats, is run somebody normal. Just one normal person. Just one. Just one non-radical, non-whack job. And that's why the Democrats are so scared of Howard Schultz from Starbucks. Because while the guy tilts left, and I doubt there's a whole lot of conservative fans of this guy, he's a capitalist. He thinks the Green New Deal is ridiculous. He thinks the jog towards socialism, well, it's not a jog in the Democratic Party right now, it's a sprint. The sprint towards socialism on the left is idiotic. And if you noticed, when he announced that he was going to run for president as an independent, they set upon even Starbucks. They went and harassed poor baristas making minimum wage when Howard Schultz is not even still at Starbucks. And they went and attacked baristas and decided to boycott a business, which may cost, you know, some minimum wage people their jobs, because the Democrats are freaking out because somebody normal is going to go up against that cavalcade of whack jobs, Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren and Kamala Harris and the rest of that menagerie of weirdos. Unfortunately, there is nowhere for us to hide. People like me with a small, limited government people. Another month, another frightening jump in the U.S. budget deficit. According to the latest Treasury data, the U.S. budget surplus in January, traditionally one of the few surplus months of the year due to its tax receipts timing, was only $4 billion, badly missing the $25 billion surplus expected and far below the $49 billion surplus recorded last January, the smallest January gain since 2015. As a result, the budget deficit for the first 4 months of the fiscal year widened to $310 billion, a whopping 77% higher than the $175.7 billion reported for the same period last year, largely the result of the revenue hit from Trump's tax cuts and the increase in government spending. Gosh, I wish I had gotten out ahead of this and told everybody what a disaster it is when you cut taxes and increase spending. Who could have guessed? The deficit was a result of a 2% drop in receipts to $1.1 trillion, while spending jumped 9% to $1.4 trillion. Unfortunately, since receipts are set to decline even more in the coming months, the overall budget deficit is set to widen further in the coming years as the Republican tax cut package and increased spending for defense and other priorities boost government outlays. According to the CBO, the budget deficit for fiscal 2019 will widen to $897 billion, up by $118 billion from a year earlier. Any economic recession will result in a far greater number. You know, when I come on air on this show and I bash Republicans and I take on Trump when he passes tax cuts and doesn't make a mention of reducing government spending, this is why. This is why. So the budget deficit is projected to be $897 billion. And these projections are always wrong. It's always worse. And that's just the budget deficit when there are emergency spending things. Trump's, I believe, going to Alabama maybe on Friday to look at the carnage from those horrible tornadoes that killed so many people. the hurricanes of this year, any natural disaster, any one-off expenditure is not put into the budget and usually accounts to another $300-500 billion that's not in this budget deficit. We're going to be looking at $1.2 trillion, $1.3 trillion, $1.4 trillion, $1.5 trillion new debt put on our children. It's disgusting. Absolutely, absolutely disgusting. And this is so predictable. And it's happening right in front of our eyes. These not, numbers are not hidden. They're right out in front of everybody. Yet for some reason, there's a collective yawn across the landscape of adults with children, with nieces, with nephews, with grandchildren. Nobody cares. It's not your problem, is it? It hasn't affected us yet, Mike. It's like the health stuff I talk about. If you put it in your mouth and it doesn't kill you that day, then it must be safe. I'm here to tell you, this is a slow motion train wreck. And this is supposedly, remember, always keep in mind, these numbers that I have reported over the past 12 months have been during the greatest economic boom the United States has ever seen, according to the Republican Party. What happens when we're in a recession? Sad, sad stuff. At least Rand Paul is attempting to stop a little bit of the hemorrhaging, and we'll get to that when we come back.
You know that friend that's eating healthy, or as they put it, eating clean? They're overly concerned with eating habits, especially yours. They cite the latest health studies, the ones that change weekly. Eggs are good? No, bad. No, wait, eggs are good. Instead, maybe you should listen to what your own body is saying about your health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Now I'm calling on citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
I was reading an article yesterday that was talking about the different Republicans that are coming up with their plans for paid family leave. They were talking about poll results where this is very popular among Republicans and Democrats alike. And I got to tell you, paid family leave is absolutely fantastic. I would think that if you found a company that offered that, if you were planning on starting a family, that'd be a really attractive place to work if they voluntarily did it. Now, I've not seen any details of this, but apparently this is what the Republicans are going to work on. Some of the proposals I saw meant that people could draw out of Social Security early. Look, I guess I'm in favor of that because it's not going to be around much longer. You better get it while you can. Mike Lee, senator from Utah, very libertarian guy, one of the best senators we've got by a long stretch. He's in favor of this thing, so I'm going to give it a minute. I'm going to take a look at his proposal and figure out why this is not another big government program that is somehow going to support people and leave small businesses with big holes in their business. If you've got a key employee that is able to take 6 or 8 weeks off paid through the government and you're just left there with this giant hole in your staffing, it doesn't seem very conservative. It doesn't seem very small government. It doesn't seem like this should be a federal program, but this is what they're working on. Meanwhile, I'm seeing the headlines on Drudge Report today. The top headlines are record surge at the border. It's going to surpass immigration during the Obama administration. Let me see what the headlines here are. Record surge at border. Illegal immigration at worst rate in a decade. Invasion intensifies. Bus loads will surpass Obama era. Now, I know what most people's reaction to that is. See, Trump needs to build this wall. They won't let Trump build this wall. But the problem is if Trump had started the wall the day he got into office, this would still be an issue. See, you've had two parties that both wanted unfettered illegal immigration for different reasons, maybe. Kind of the same reason. They're all bought and paid for by these corporations who want the labor. Democrats want the votes. Republicans have can't. I mean, is nobody else mad about this? Is nobody else upset at the constant campaigning by these two parties? And I'm talking about two parties. Liberals should be just as outraged. How's that war on poverty going for you there, left? That really working out for you? On the right, I've been listening to comprehensive immigration reform since the 1990s. And yet it is 2019, and I'm looking at headlines that say illegal immigration at worst in a decade. Nobody will look at the root cause of these things, which are the entitlement programs that we have here that allow people to come in and sit down. And nobody on the right will look at the drug war, which creates violent hell holes for these people south of the border and just forces them to leave unsafe areas and come north for those benefits. But no, Mike, we need the wall. We need the wall. And the Democrats say, no, we just need open borders. I mean, it's anybody who thinks this stuff is really gets to be pretty silly. Rand Paul, when it comes to the spending, I'll let you listen to a little clip, a little tweet that Rand Paul sent out yesterday. Obviously, I am more prone to like Rand Paul's dad, one of the people who woke me up, one of the most intelligent, most economically literate, intellectual members of Congress that has served certainly during my lifetime. He was beaten up and dismissed by the Republican establishment who didn't want an outsider. And Ron Paul just didn't have the personality that Donald Trump had to break through that system. They wanted to minimize Donald Trump, but he was too good for TV and he was too loud for the Republicans to ignore him. And he was too aggressive. He did a great job campaigning. They couldn't put him down. And maybe he upset the status quo a little bit. Ron Paul would have been real change for the United States. Real change. Real, honest change. So I am a fan of his son, Rand Paul. And Rand Paul, if you remember, he last year put out a plan called the Penny Plan. He was just going to reduce the federal budget by 1% a year. 1%. That's one penny of every dollar he wanted to cut each year for the next 10 years. And he was dismissed, ridiculed, stopped by the Republican Party, who just thought that cutting 1% off the budget each year just was not going to work. Anyway, he's got a plan for Afghanistan.
This week, I'm introducing legislation to end a war that should have ended long ago, the war in Afghanistan. The United States has been fighting the war on terror since October of 2001, and it has cost $6 trillion. 2,300 military members have lost their lives, and another 20,000 were wounded in action. I supported going to war in Afghanistan in 2001, attacking those who harbored the 9/11 terrorist or helped to organize the attack on 9/11, and going after Al-Qaeda.
Turns out some of those people were in Saudi Arabia, but we haven't seemed to get around to them quite yet.
But we are many, many years past that mission. We have turned to nation building at a cost of over $50 billion a year spent in Afghanistan. It's important to know when to declare victory and leave a war. I think that time is long past, but hopefully we can all agree that the time has come. President Trump has called for an end to this war and made this statement in his State of the Union. He said that great nations do not fight endless wars. I agree, and now I'm pushing forward to end our long-running war in Afghanistan. My legislation would declare victory in Afghanistan. Osama bin Laden was killed 8 years ago. They say Al-Qaeda is virtually wiped out. According to the Department of Defense, by 2009, there were less than 100 Al-Qaeda soldiers left in Afghanistan.
Yeah, but Rand, don't forget, we just got word at the end of last week that Hamza bin Laden is resurfaced and he's reconstituting Al-Qaeda. And we've put out $1 million bounty on his head for information of where he is. See, they're trying to bring the Al-Qaeda thing back. Rand Paul better get us out of Afghanistan quick.
And a June 2018 Defense Department report stated that few remaining Al-Qaeda core members are really focused on their own survival. My bill also rewards those who served. Within 1 year after the war ends, $2,500 victory bonus will be paid to all members of the military who served in the global war on terrorism. Since 2001, more than 3 million men and women have been deployed. Each of them will get $2,500. This would be a one-time cost of $7 billion and an immediate savings of over 83% when compared to the current yearly cost of nation building. So we're spending 50-some-odd billion there. We're going to take $7 billion of that, give bonuses to our soldiers, and then what we're going to do is the rest of it will be a peace dividend, and from here on out, we'll save about $50 billion a year.
Now, always remember what peace dividend means. Peace dividend means that Lockheed Martin, Raytheon, United Technologies, Planner Technologies, all these companies, a peace dividend means they don't get that money. That's why we haven't. That's why there was a. We moved into the Middle East 8 months after the fall of the Berlin Wall. When the Soviet Empire fell and communism in the Soviet Union was dead, that was a lot of talk about the peace dividend. How, oh my gosh, how much money the United States was going to save. Wasn't this fantastic? Capitalism won over communism. We were really set to save a lot of money from our arms built up in the 1980s. Yet, gosh, golly, just 8 months later, H.W. Bush committed us to the Middle East and we've never left. Just always remember, the peace dividend is something that you and I might think is a great idea, but there's a lot of lobbyists in Washington, D.C. that will fight that tooth and nail.
We don't need to be wasting that $50 billion, and there is no doubt much of it is wasted. We spent $60 million building a luxury hotel in Kabul, a hotel that was never completed, a hotel that actually terrorists climb up in and can shoot down at us. We spent $43 million on a natural gas station, even though no one has a car that runs on natural gas in Afghanistan. $750 million went to a project to build electrification for land that we didn't even own and that the Taliban kept blowing up. $210 million went to build a new Afghan government building. My question is, when are they going to pay for their own stuff? Why does Uncle Sam have to be Uncle Sap and pay for everything? The list is ongoing and incredibly insulting to American taxpayers. It's time to declare our mission over and our war won. It's time to build here, not there.
So what do you think about that? What's a little historic about this is that Congress has not really taken any action on either getting us into or out of a war for decades now. They just sit silently by while our kings decide where our troops are sent. Anyway, $50 billion a year is a drop in the bucket to what they overspend in Washington, D.C., but at least people don't have to die. Be right back. If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com. Welcome back to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. The number here, 601-879-0002. Anybody out there think we need to stay in Afghanistan? Keep our footprint there. Keep fighting those radical terrorists. Are you afraid of Hamza bin Laden's resurfacing recently? Now, Rand Paul is introducing legislation to get us the hell out of Afghanistan once and for all. Donald Trump has spoken about it. Rand Paul is trying to give him a little nudge from Congress, which has failed to act on any of our foreign involvements for quite some time. Hopefully he's successful. This is what Trump wants. Unfortunately, Trump has surrounded himself by neocon warmongers, and the problem is, if we get out of Afghanistan, we've got to keep these psychopaths from getting us involved in Venezuela or Iran or ramping up another Cold War or war with North Korea. The headline today in North Korea: North Koreans working on a long-range missile site. Well, I got to tell you, what are they supposed to do? John Bolton showed up like a turd in a punch bowl at this thing. I'm not even sure he was invited. kind of the tone of the stories that I saw about the North Korean peace talks with Donald Trump is that John Bolton came in at the last minute, and as they were discussing, you know, some tit for tat stuff, we give a little, they give a little, you know how negotiations move along slowly but surely in big world events like these. And John Bolton came in and said, no, we want all this rest of the, he started laying down some more ideas too. I have said many, many times, I played the clips when Trump came back from his time over North Korea. When he gave his speech to say there was no deal, I felt like there was a lack of energy with Donald Trump, which is certainly rare. And he kept deferring to Mike Pompeo. And he would say things like, when Trump was talking about getting rid of the sanctions, he said, we didn't think that we could do this or that we could do that. And then he was asked a question by a reporter, and he said, I want to remove the sanctions. I want to see North Korea succeed. I understand the economic possibilities in North Korea. See, Trump wants to make this deal. Mike Pompeo and John Bolton are holding him back. And then I run across this yesterday from Ron Paul. The media reported that Trump walked away from the meeting before the scheduled signing ceremony and closing press event. The talks broke down, it was reported, because Kim demanded an end to all sanctions before any reduction in North Korea's nuclear arsenal. Washington sighed with relief and said altogether, better no deal than a bad deal. How many times do we hear this? Across the media landscape, across Republican neocons like Lindsey Graham and Marco Rubio and Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. Meanwhile, the North Koreans held a rare press conference clarifying that they only asked for partial sanctions relief in exchange for dismantling one of their main nuclear facilities. Further press reports began to surface. The National Security Advisor, John Bolton, threw additional demands on the table, which led Kim to draw the meeting to an early close. Who's telling the truth? We won't likely know. But given Bolton's strong opposition to any kind of peace agreement with North Korea, it's hard to doubt that he had something to do with the blow-up of the summit. And here's the punchline. As the New York Times reported over the weekend, while Trump's advisors were shocked when he decided to meet Kim face-to-face the first time for negotiations, John Bolton wasn't worried at all. As the Times writes, quote, Mr. Bolton told colleagues not to worry. The negotiations, he said, would collapse on their own. That's your national security advisor, John Bolton. Can somebody please explain to me why he's there? James Tolt, host here on WYAB, has got a theory, and there's some possible merit to it. I don't think it is a good reason, but he and I were discussing this because he's a very strong Trump supporter. I am back and forth. It depends on what Trump does that day, so whether or not I'm going to praise him or criticize him. It's funny. I do that with my kids. I love my kids. Sometimes they do things that I don't like, and I correct them. I don't just say, well, you're my kids. I love you. I support you, because I do support my kids. But it's also my job to try to guide their behavior, turn them into good people, make them do the right things. But when it comes to politicians, we just say, we support you. Eh, we don't care what you do. Well, whatever's fine with us. We got your back. James Tulp thinks that John Bolton was brought in as a, because he's a neocon warmongering piece of human psychopathic filth, that it puts all countries on notice that we're not to be messed with. That Trump's not really listening to John Bolton, but he's just there to kind of be a pit bull on a chain that we threaten to unleash if things don't go our way. And that may be Trump's thinking. But I got to tell you, I believe it's massively flawed thinking. There was a story out yesterday. We have been talking to India. Well, a little bit less of a talk, more of a threat. India keeps trading with Iran, and they don't understand. We're mad at Iran, so they're not supposed to trade with Iran. So there's been some contentiousness there because we dictate, our foreign policy advisors dictate who trades with who around the world. You can imagine how popular that is with all the other countries that this one country says, you can trade with this person, but not that person. We're mad. We're like the mean girls table. So India, we've been kind of threatening them and telling them, you know, you're doing too much business with Iran. You're doing too much business with now Venezuela. And we threaten them. There's a kind of a special arrangement they have that amounts to about $190 million a year in benefit to the Indians. And we've threatened to take that away from them, and we may have actually done it. It's $190 million a year. India's not playing ball. They're still doing business with Venezuela. And this is a trend that is continuing to happen around the world. European countries are deciding whether or not they're just going to ignore our sanctions. China and Russia are being forced together as an alliance because of the fact that we have psychopath neocon warmongers in administration after administration after administration that have been bullying the rest of the world, and they don't know what else to do. They're so loaded down with sanctions that they're stopping to use dollars. They're starting to use other things to buy things. You have no idea the danger to you and to your family, what is going on right now by the likes of John Bolton, Mike Pompeo, Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State before them, these neocons, this Elliot Abrams guy who's running the Venezuela thing. The guy is a known. He's one of the fathers of neoconservatism warmongering. He was brought in as the lead guy in Venezuela, and the next thing you know, we're attempting a coup down there. Boy, I tell you what, people, you're going to see how this affects your family. You're going to think, why was he focusing so much time on all that stuff? It doesn't bother me. It's going to. Just remember that I told you. You got a caller on the line. Hey, caller, are you with me?
Yeah. Hey, Mike, it's Nilsson.
Hey, man, what's going on?
I got a different perspective on the North Korea talks. You had the entire media and every single Democrat in the world saying that, Trump's just going to sign some bad deal to get the focus off of Michael Cohen. Trump's going to just sign away the entire store, give away the world to North Korea because he doesn't want to look bad because of Michael Cohen. So he's going to try to change the subject by just signing anything that they put in front of him. That was the entire narrative. I don't think there's any way Trump could have signed the deal. But I'm not saying that John Bolton isn't a scumbag who doesn't want peace anywhere in the world. I'm just saying that Trump was not only probably pressured from that scumbag, but also from everything that was going on with the Michael Cohen stuff.
Well, yeah, might be right there.
I don't see how he could have got any good press if he would have signed anything.
But isn't that our whole thing about Donald Trump? Everybody says he's not going to be treated fairly anyway. So why doesn't he go and accomplish things? I mean, the guy is headed towards the Nobel Peace Prize. It's going to be hard to not recognize him for this if he does peace with them. To have done a first step of the deal, not a comprehensive thing. Nobody thought he was going to go over there and solve the whole thing and then go home. But if we had relieved some sanctions and they had agreed to get rid of one of their facilities, why wouldn't that have been a big first step? And if the media, the media jumped on him that it was a failed talk. The media, Nancy Pelosi still castigated him for the whole trip. The fact that he's cozying up to a dictator. I heard this on the news last night, that he's cozying up to a dictator. So
yeah, the narrative shifts to wherever it goes. If something good happens, then they got to shift the narrative to, he's doing something with a dictator. And if it goes bad, they're like, look, he can't get anything done.
Right.
It's ridiculous what they do. But I'm just saying that, I don't think Trump can play on a level playing field in the world stage when the entire United States of America is against every single little thing that he does. It's kind of hard to negotiate when your entire country is against you.
Well, if that's the case, then we have to just completely give up on the Trump presidency and the Trump administration, because he won't be able to do anything. He's negotiating with China right now. Yeah, I got to tell you, it's pretty difficult. All right, thanks, Nilsson. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
All right, bye. I think Trump has got to be Trump, and he's not being Trump. He's trying to strike some bargain with the neocon branch of government that he campaigned against. He campaigned against the Iraq War. He campaigned against Afghanistan. He campaigned against Syria. Now he's 100% committed to keeping troops in Syria. I think this was a headline yesterday. He's keeping 400 troops in Syria. He's trying to walk some tightrope. He's not delivering foreign policy-wise where he said he was going to deliver. Now, I know people out there disagree. Oh my gosh, nobody's ever delivered like Donald Trump's delivered. I don't see that in foreign policy stuff. His rhetoric is good. His rhetoric is better than we've had in quite some time. But nothing's happening. He's got something going on. Something's happening that he has brought these neocons in. He could have done a partial deal and then had another meeting in 3 or 4 months or 6 months or whenever it is. This is 60, 70 years in the making? If it takes a year to get it done, he's got a good relationship with the guy. does it really ring true that Donald Trump is going to allow the media to take him off of doing what is right over there, which could put him on course for a Nobel Prize? Does it the ring true, or does it ring more true that John Bolton got in there and screwed it up, that Mike Pompeo told Donald Trump, you're going to look weak. If you give up anything without total denuclearization, you're going to look weak. People are going to think you're a weak leader. I'm telling you, that's what I think is happening. I think they are trying to appeal to his mind. They're challenging his manhood and this idea of American leadership being us always getting 100% of our way as we crush those who oppose us. That's what I think is happening, but I don't know. Time will tell. All I can say is John Bolton needs to be fired, and he needed to be. He never should have been. Never should have been hired in the first place. Ditto with Mike Pompeo. And I know a lot of people out there are fans of these people. I just ask you why.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
All right, last segment of current events and politics before we move to something positive, which is Hump Day Health. We're going to talk to Brandy Vaughn, a former pharmaceutical sales rep. Maybe we'll take a look at kind of behind the curtain of the pharmaceutical industry that she has seen. And we will talk about the over-medication of America, which has kind of been a theme of mine for the last few weeks. But before I go, as long as we're going to talk about some of these foreign things, some of these war things, John Bolton, the rest of them, I ran across this story yesterday. I just found this a little curious. The top U.S. commander in Europe on Tuesday declared that American and NATO troops could not yet mount a credible deterrence against Russian aggression, noting that the Kremlin's efforts to modernize its armed forces are eroding the United States' military advantage in Europe. General Curtis Scaparotti, the U.S. European Command head and NATO's supreme allied commander, identified a lack of manpower, naval capability shortfalls, and inadequate intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance capacity as reasons why American and NATO troops are unable to handle the credible deterrence against Russian aggression. The general's comments came as he testified before the Senate Armed Services Committee about American military activities in Europe, telling lawmakers the United States needs to follow in the footsteps of American rival Russia and modernize its force. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We're unable to keep up with Russia, so let me get this straight, if I can. Over the past 10 years, I'll just spitball some numbers here. They won't be entirely accurate, but you can bet they're in the ballpark. Over the last 10 years, Russia has probably spent on military spending around $500 billion. Whew, that's a lot of money. You can get a lot of modernization for your army for that, I am sure. $500 billion over 10 years in Russia. We, on the other hand, have spent somewhere probably around $7 trillion. They've spent half of a trillion. We've spent 14 times that much at about $7 trillion. And this is going back and looking at some historical tables that I'd had on defense spending by country. We have a 14-to-1 advantage in spending on defense, and we are constantly told we're not up to the task. Russia has the advantage. So something's wrong here. Now, Rand Paul, earlier when I played the clip, he explained to you that a lot of what we do with our defense spending is we spend $43 million to create a natural gas car service station, even though nobody in Iraq has natural gas cars, or that we spend $60 million to start but not finish a luxury hotel in Iraq. We know there's some waste and things like that. Is it possible that maybe we are not able to fight 16 wars at the same time. Maybe we should get some level of priority. I say this to a largely conservative audience who every time one of our Republican candidates comes out and talks about rebuilding the military and giving military more and more and more money, currently now at $750 billion. That's before you figure in the intelligence agencies, Department of Homeland Security. We spend $1 trillion a year right now. We spend $1 trillion a year between intelligence and defense spending. The Russians spend about $60 billion, yet we are told we can't compete. This is on top of the fact that now Europe is contributing more to NATO. So on top of the $1 trillion a year we spend, we've got probably a couple $100 billion more coming in from our European partners who are part of the NATO alliance. The NATO alliance, if you don't remember, is the North Atlantic Treaty Organization that defends Europe from the Soviet Union. Strangest thing enough, the Soviet Union fell 30 years ago, yet this cabal of defense has stayed there. We're actually funding. We've got a guy over there who's defending. Now, nothing against this guy. I looked him up to see if he has any defense industry ties. I couldn't find any. He's lifelong military. Guy's definitely done a lot of service for the United States, but I can also guarantee you where his next stop will be. He'll be with the defense contractors. I can't blame him. A year in career military, rising to the highest levels, he'll be able to move right out of there and make a couple of million dollars a year. But somebody just, for the love of God, explain to me how a country that spends $60 billion a year is somehow getting a competitive advantage over a country that spends $1 trillion a year. Year after year, after year, after year. Doesn't make any sense to me. I'll be right back. All night
with the king. Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Welcome to the Mike Madison Show. It is Wednesday, and on every Wednesday, we take a break from politics, current events, and we focus on alternative health, the only alternative health show here in central Mississippi. This is about empowering people to take control of your own health. I have spent the last 3 weeks talking about the over-medication of Americans here in the United States. We've looked at some of the top-selling drugs, natural alternatives to these drugs, and the numbers, the sheer, just the volume of drugs that the American people have been convinced to take, while our health outcomes do not seem to be improving, strangely enough. I want to remind everybody, I am not a doctor, I'm not a scientist, I'm not a therapist, I'm not a nurse, I'm not a surgeon, I'm not a nothing. I have no certification behind me that shows I'm qualified to advise you on your health. I just bring up topics for your research purposes and your consideration. You should take up the mantle here. You've got the World Wide Web right there at your fingertips. You can do research on your own. Again, this is all about you taking control of your own health. Today, I am thrilled to death to have Brandy Vaughn on with us. Brandy is a former pharmaceutical sales rep. She was with Merck. When working in the pharma industry, Brandy sold Vioxx, a painkiller that was found to double the risk of stroke and heart attacks and was eventually taken off the market. She says, from that experience, I realized that just because something's on the market doesn't mean it's safe. Much of what we are told by the healthcare industry just simply isn't the truth. So you can see, if you've listened to the show with any regularity, why I'm excited to have her on. Brandy, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me on, Mike.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit. You were a pharmaceutical sales rep with Merck at one point, selling Vioxx. When was this, and what kind of led you to an awakening that maybe they were off target?
Well, yes. So this was back in the early 2000s when Vioxx was on the market. It was a blockbuster drug, and they were hiring sales reps to push it out even further. And I was one of them. So I worked for Merck for 2 years. And during that time, it was interesting going from the beginning of the cycle, which was the brainwashing that you do when you're going through the training period. It's a 2-month period. They even bring in, you know, ex-intelligence agency officers to tell you how to manipulate doctors, how to twist the studies, how to deflect real questions. So going from that experience, you know, fresh out of Merck training, thinking that I'm changing the lives of other people in a positive way, and that's exactly why I went into the industry to begin with. I was a typical American, brainwashed from the beginning of childhood that doctors are experts. They know everything. You know, they will help you take care of everything. You don't ask questions. And then I started calling on hundreds of them for Merck, and particularly with the product Vioxx, which was indicated for arthritis and pain. But it was a blockbuster drug, and people were taking it from everything from tennis elbow to hangovers, all of this. And I will say it was a powerful, powerful pain reliever, but so powerful that it was causing strokes and heart attacks in huge numbers compared to placebos. So when that news started to get out, there was a New York Times article, and this is while I was working for Merck, and there was a lot of talk about Vioxx killing people, about why the study was stopped. I was actually presenting the study to doctors, and then all of a sudden it was stopped.
Now, were they finding, was this a Merck internal study? Was this an outside group? Merck was actually studying it.
It was a Merck-funded study. And it was, initially it was to prove that stomach incidents like ulcers are lower with the Vioxx group versus naproxen, which is a placebo they used, which is it's an active placebo, not a real placebo.
Yeah.
And it was showing a huge increase in stroke and heart attack and death. So the study investigators actually started to raise an alarm, and then, you know, it went through internal, not to my level, but they always have corporate plans, and Pfizer got wind of the cancellation of the study. They sent the information to New York Times. New York Times did a big expose on it. And, you know, Merck was required to put a black box warning on the medications from the FDA, but really they got a slap on the wrist in the beginning, and they continued to sell it for a year and a half after everything kind of hit the fan. They were able to keep it on the market as long as they possibly could and, you know, as a result, injure as many people as possible. And I saw this going on firsthand when I worked there, so I actually left the company completely disgusted. I was selling two other drugs for Merck as well. One was an asthma drug, pediatricians, which had very, very low efficacy, but it's now made headlines causing, you know, massive psychotic episodes and even suicides in children and teenagers. So,
oh my gosh.
You know, having those experiences really opened my eyes to the fact that the pharmaceutical industry, but not just the pharmaceutical industry, right, but also the entire medical system is based on keeping you sick. So they don't make money if you're healthy. You don't go to the doctor. You don't get your medical tests. You don't get unnecessary surgeries. You don't take their medications. All of these things contribute to this huge medical industry, and a lot of people say healthcare industry, but it's not actually about keeping you healthy, because literally they would make no money if you're healthy.
Right, it's a disease management system.
Exactly, and they want to keep you a customer. So this is why every time you go into the doctor, they prescribe you a drug, and then further testing. When doctors actually received education in nutrition and alternative medicine and other things that can help your health, doctors would probably prescribe you diet change. and some supplements. Oh, maybe you're not going outside enough. You work at a computer inside for 12 hours a day. You need more sun, vitamin D. Vitamin D is super important. Maybe you should stop wearing the chemical sunscreen. So anyway, there are a lot of things that doctors aren't trained on and don't know. And when I worked in the industry selling this drug, I realized exactly where the doctors get their information. Because once they're out of medical school, and actually medical schools now are funded by the pharmaceutical industry, most deans of most medical schools hold the position, and it's funded by the pharmaceutical industry.
Right.
So there's a lot of influence, even starting in medical school. And 400 Harvard Medical School students in 2010 went to the university and said, "We want pharmaceutical industry out of our education. This is not an independent education we're getting. This is biased." And absolutely nothing happened, even though the New York Times covered it, the Atlantic, all of it. And that's what we're looking at. So pharmaceutical companies are heavily influencing medical schools. They're heavily influencing medical professionals. They're heavily influencing even the textbooks that are in medical schools are being written. The research arena, there is independent scientific research, and then there's the research that's funded by pharma. And, of course, that's the research that gets into the media because pharmaceutical companies are one of the largest advertisers.
Right.
And that's what the doctors see. So this whole...
And we're only
really
one of two countries.
To the fact that it's not an industry that wants to keep you healthy. And if you really care about your health, and we should, because what can we do if we're unhealthy? We can't work. We can't spend time with family. We can't earn money. We can't pay our bills. We really need to take our own control of our health and step out of that system that profits off keeping us sick.
Right. And we're one of only two countries, I believe. It's us and New Zealand, that allow pharmaceutical, at least televised. I'm not sure if there's other places where they can have print, but we're one of only two countries that allow televised pharmaceutical advertising, aren't we?
Yes. And this is one of the reasons that the U.S. has more prescribed drugs and the most over-medicated population in the world.
Yeah, when I first came around in natural health, it was kind of by accident. I've told my story on the show millions of times, so I won't bore everybody. But I started just reading some stuff about little kids going into puberty early, and I had 2 4-year-olds at the time, so I started changing our diet. And, you know, I kind of went down that rabbit hole and started studying things, removing different things from our diet, and everybody started getting healthier, myself included, which I wasn't even going for. I was trying to help my kids, but I ended up getting just so much healthier. A lot of chronic conditions just went away, and I was just stunned. But I remember during my waking up process in this, I remember running across a CNBC story, and I wish I had the clip in front of me now, but I think it was after one of these drugs, I don't know if it was Vioxx or another, had come out as dangerous, and they interviewed a physician. And I have had doctor after doctor after doctor on this show that are now supporting alternative health stuff that said they went to medical school, some of them for, you know, 12 years, 16 years of total medical training, and they had about half a day of nutrition training, which is a shocking statistic to me. But they had this one doctor on the CNBC story, and they interviewed him, and he said out loud, and this just struck me at the time, this has probably been 10 years ago, and he said, "Look, I'm a busy physician. I don't have time to research every study that's ever done. That's what the pharmaceutical sales reps are there for. They're the ones that educate me." And I mean, just the alarm bells with me just went off, because we think of doctors essentially with a scientific background that are parsing through the latest and greatest advancements in this or that, but they're not. I mean, and a little bit to give them an excuse, they are massively busy because the healthcare system is about volume. They are very busy, but they're relying on pharmaceutical representatives, pharmaceutical materials, pharmaceutical funded studies, pharmaceutically funded medical schools to give them all this information. And it's nobody's paying attention to that.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I saw working on the inside of the industry. And it blew my mind so much that, you know, I changed my lifestyle, and I tried to change the lifestyles of those around me. But when I had my child, which was a bit of an epiphany as well, I realized how sick his peer population was, because I had 8 friends at this around the same time as I had my son give birth to other children, and they were all sick in some way. And so I started to do a lot of the research on what is happening to our children nowadays than happened before when I was, you know, young 30 years ago. What was the problem? What's going on here? And a lot of it, this is when I started my Learn the Risk, which is my nonprofit foundation, which is educating parents and the public on basically the real dangers of pharmaceutical drugs and then also vaccines. And that's how I got started in the vaccine issue. And right now we're looking at a chronic sickness in children. Half of all children are chronically sick. And, you know, we're seeing one in every 15 children having a seizure disorder. We're seeing EpiPens having to be in every single classroom for anaphylactic food allergies.
Yeah, peanuts.
Asthma, cancer, all of these, you know, type 1 diabetes, massive epidemics of childhood sickness in our population. And, you know, we're about to lose a generation of children to sickness.
Yeah.
And in fact, many experts say that this generation will not outlive their parents. And this is the first time this has ever been recorded in history. So,
yeah,
we got to
run to a quick commercial break, but I want to get into that because that's one of the most obvious things to me is that, look, I've got great friends who are doctors. There's plenty of doctors that I love. The problem is they refuse to admit that something's failing. We're headed in the absolute wrong direction. So whether it is pharmaceuticals or vaccines or anything else, everything should be on the table for discussion right now because they have not figured out what the problem is. And like you say, our health is declining rapidly in the United States. So I'd like to get to a little bit of that when we come back. And there are also some things that you've got on your website that I encourage people to visit that are, you know, some pretty shocking statistics that most people don't know. We're talking to Brandy Vaughn. She's a former pharmaceutical sales rep. She has now got a group called Learn the Risk, and you can find her stuff at learntherisk.org. We'll be right back with Brandy when we come back. Stay with us. Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show. The Mike Madison Show here on Hump Day Health. We're talking to Brandy Vaughn, former pharmaceutical salesperson, turned bit of a whistleblower, and she now looks at the industry with the same suspicion and, well, it's not even suspicion at this point. It's a flat-out accusation of a profit motive. And, Brandy, we were talking before we took a break. You know, my big thing for doing this show, for questioning when I have conversations with the doctors that I know and love, I know they're good people, but I just say, I don't know how y'all are so arrogant. Why isn't everything on the table? We've got rising diabetes. Here in central Mississippi, it is like a nuclear diabetes bomb went off. We're like the nexus of the diabetic epidemic here. We've got autism, Alzheimer's. Cancer has gone from 1 in 33 people down to 1 in 3 people, headed very quickly down to 1 in 2 people. And the results are just terrible, yet so many people, so many things are, you just can't talk about these things. How dare you question the scientists and the companies that are trying to make our lives better? But, I mean, everything needs to be examined very thoroughly because our results right now are terrible.
Yes, I'm not surprised because actually Mississippi is one of the most heavily vaccinated states in all of the U.S. And there's an interesting article that I have in some of my talks, and it talks about SIDS rates, right? So sudden infant death.
Yeah.
And the U.S. has, in general, has one of the highest sudden infant death rates than other, you know, compared to other developed countries. And a lot of science shows that sudden infant death can be linked to complications from vaccination. And a lot of sudden infant deaths happen within, you know, sometimes hours, but within, you know, a few days of receiving the vaccines. In fact, I'm sharing a story today on Facebook of a woman who just lost her daughter on Friday, and that was the day after she got her well visit vaccines.
Oh, gosh.
On Thursday. And this is very prevalent. And why I talk about this right now is because Mississippi has one of the highest rates in the entire nation. So, you know, people can say, oh, well, sudden infant death, maybe it's because of lack of health care. No, not lack of health care, because we pay more per capita for health care than any other country. And Mississippi included has one of the highest highest healthcare outputs. So it's not a lack of healthcare. And U.S. in general, again, like I said, has one of the highest rates in the developed world. And then Mississippi has one of the highest rates in the U.S. And not only for sudden infant death, but like you said, for type 1 diabetes, for autism, for cancer, childhood cancer as well. And it's one of the most heavily vaccinated states. So at some point, you know, you've just got to look at the statistics and say, what is going on here, and why are we so sick? If vaccines are keeping us so healthy, why are we so sick?
Yeah, absolutely.
If you look into the ingredients, and this is one of the major hurdles, I feel like, when trying to get this information to people, it's like, do you know what's in the vaccine? Because it's not just the virus. It's not the virus and saline, right? These vaccines are shipped across the country. In fact, most vaccines now are made in China. And there has been, in the last year, huge vaccine scandals out of China where pharmaceutical executives have been jailed and protests. Parents have mobbed pharmaceutical companies. And, you know, there's been nationwide protests over faulty vaccines, basically. Vaccines
this is
have
in
been
China?
Contaminated and the deaths that have resulted in children. And yet most Americans don't know that most of our vaccines are being now made in China. And they're being imported into the U.S., and the FDA does not have very much regulatory resources to go through every single vaccine dose that's out there. And really, they go through very few. And so what we're seeing is kind of untested populations of vaccines. And the hardest thing I think it is for people to realize is that there are preservatives in these vaccines that allow for them to be shipped across countries and across states. And there are additives, chemical synthetic additives to antibacterialize things in the needle, in the vial, and also to deactivate the virus, as well as to cause a toxic autoimmune response, a toxic autoimmune response, antibodies basically, in the person that's the vaccine. So there are a lot of things in that vaccine that include, like, formaldehyde, which is known to cause cancer, and we have skyrocketing cancer rates in children. I mean, insane amounts right now. And autoimmune cancer, blood cancer, leukemia, and brain and neck cancer are one of the top. Those are the two of the top. And that's exactly where the toxins from the vaccine go when they first are injected, because of the circulatory system. So we're looking at all of these synthetic toxic chemicals, also heavy metals like aluminum and mercury and barium. These are in vaccines as well. These are things that do not belong in our body. They have no purpose in there. And even in tiny, tiny, tiny amounts are causing massive chronic inflammation in the body. And this is where we see the rising autoimmune issues, type 1 diabetes, cancer, all of these things that we're seeing in our kids, even asthma and food allergies and seizures, everything from the whole get-go. And there are thousands and thousands and thousands of scientific studies that are showing this. But those are not the ones you hear about, again, because we covered that pharmaceutical companies have so much advertising power that these are not the ones that the media talks about, and they're not the ones that are being shown to your doctor, for sure. So it's really up to us to just overcome this hurdle of, well, my doctor would never hurt me. My doctor is out for my best interest. And it's not that they want to hurt your child. It's that they don't know.
Right.
They really have not done the research.
Well,
they're trained to tell you that they've done the research, because doctors are trained to teach parents how not to question them. But they haven't actually done the research. So it's really up to us to get out there and to do the insurance, do the research. I have a lot of information on my site, learntherisk.org. And, you know, look into the ingredients, look into the science studies that show that anything injected is far, far, far more dangerous than anything we eat or we breathe or we drink. And really dig into that research. And it's not that hard. It's really not that hard.
It is not that hard.
On my website, to lay it out really simply. And my website is not, it's not pseudoscience. This is real science. Everything I say on there is completely backed up by science. And sometimes it's even government data, but the government data that they don't show you.
Right. Well, you know, what's always been a little stunning to me, once I woke up, now listen, I was that parent that just went in and let them jam whatever they wanted to into my child or give me a pill bottle full of whatever, and I just stuck it in my kid's mouth. But it's pretty amazing when you stop and think about the fact that, man, if our kids go outside, we got them with a helmet on, we got knee pads, we got elbow pads. When we get them in the car, we get them in the four-point harness and make sure that car seat's in there good. We don't take our eyes off of them in the grocery store. We won't let them go down the street and play anymore because someone might snatch them. We'll actually pack up the whole family and move to another city because we think the school is better. All these things we do for our children, yet we don't stop and ask, hey, that fluid that you're about to inject into my child's arms, could you just tell me what's in it? I mean, there's just absolutely nothing, because we just believe that everything is there to keep us safe, and that in this particular area, we don't have to have any vigilance because it wouldn't be available if it wasn't safe. So we got another break, but when we come back, I want to talk about the FDA, along with pharmaceutical companies, the relationship there, and the corruption that we see at the top. And you have a story that's fairly new, even something breaking now that's going on that just shows how captured our whole system is. It's corrupted, and it's about money. And people see that about a lot of issues, but they feel like when it comes to the health of us and our children, that we're somehow have got this protective layer of, you know, of agencies and education and everything, and that we've got it all figured out, when it's just not true and the system's corrupted. Anyway, we're talking to Brandy Vaughn, former pharmaceutical sales rep. We're going to get to I do want to talk about the FDA a little bit when we come back, because that's one of the things people point to and think that that's the angel that's watching over all of us. So we'll do that as soon as we come back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB.
You know that friend that's eating healthy, or as they put it, eating clean? They're overly concerned with eating habits, especially yours. They cite the latest health studies, the ones that change weekly. Eggs are good? No, bad. No, wait, eggs are good. Instead, maybe you should listen to what your own body is saying about your health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Now I'm calling all citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right. This is the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, where we are doing Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. And today we're talking to Brandy Vaughn. Brandy, one of the things people believe in the United States is that we have got this strict regulatory system in place that protects us from anything. You know, I talk about this. I do a lot of talk on here about the foods that we're eating, the chemicals that are in our foods. And just the fact that it's on the shelves at the grocery store does not mean it is good for humans to ingest it. When it comes to pharmaceuticals, when it comes to vaccines, let's talk a little bit about the FDA, which is supposedly this, you know, a bunch of people in white coats just out there for the safety of the American people. There's a tad bit of corruption within the FDA, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yes. And I guess the breaking news that we had yesterday was the FDA head, Scott Gottlieb, resigned. And that was a bit shocking.
He was the head of the FDA.
Right, the head of the FDA. And, you know, when Trump appointed him, he was, he's a pharmaceutical insider. He used to work in the industry. He's very close ties. And this idea of lowering drug prices was a bit of a mask, because how he did that was he approved things without actually the proper safety research. So during his reign, he approved a massive amount of drugs, I think three times the amount of the previous FDA head. And he was just on a spree. So the pharmaceutical companies loved him because they didn't have to provide as rigorous research, right, for their medications and vaccines to be approved. Well, that caught up with him. And over the weekend, 60 Minutes did a huge expose, which actually included a CEO of a pharmaceutical company that makes an opiate. And that head of the pharmaceutical company said the FDA is responsible for this opiate addiction that we opiate crisis that we have. And Scott Gottlieb, the current head, actually approved an opiate back in November that is 1,000 times more powerful than fentanyl. So that alone, right there, that expose, and you know, it was a well done, only 15 minutes. Everybody should watch it. Really went into the corruption that we see at the FDA levels, and it also interviewed previous chiefs of the FDA and how things have really changed in the last 20 years and become much more pharma-friendly, and the agency is really a revolving door with the pharmaceutical industry. So you do a good job at the FDA, you get drugs approved for pharmaceuticals, you ignore the safety concerns, then you go and you get a very high-paying job in the pharmaceutical industry. And this is also happening with the CDC, and I think one of the most famous stories there was Julie Gerberding, who headed the CDC, approved numerous vaccines for children, particularly the Gardasil vaccine, which, you know, everybody should dig into that.
That's a train wreck.
And the dangers of Gardasil are so widespread now, and it's still on the market, unfortunately, but she approved that with really, really poor safety testing and short term, no real placebo, clear, you know, 40 deaths in the group. So teenagers, healthy teenagers that were enrolled in this, and then 40 of them die, you know, during the safety trial. It was abominable. But Julie did a great job approving that, and so she went straight to Merck and headed up their vaccine division. She received numerous stock options, and even within a month of taking the position, she cashed in $2.5 million in stock options, and then later $3 million. And she's still there with her cushy job at Merck. So, you know, I think that the thing that people don't understand is that a lot of these agencies have been captured by the pharmaceutical industry.
Right.
And maybe it wasn't that way 30, 40 years ago, but it's become that way. And particularly, there were a set of laws, some during the Reagan era, but some after that, one particularly that allowed the CDC to take private-public partnerships. So basically, take money from the pharmaceutical industry. And a lot of people have no idea that that's actually happening. But the CDC, which is the Center for Disease Control, they give our recommendations. They put the different vaccines on the schedule for the children. So whatever your child gets at the doctor's offices is per the CDC recommendations, and yet they are taking money from private interests, from vaccine makers and pharmaceutical companies. And the heads are not overseeing this because they're basically pawns for the pharmaceutical industry in some way.
Well, let's one thing I have a question about now. My understanding is that I think most people believe that the FDA, you know, somebody brings a product, they say, hey, I want to put this product on the market, and they hand it over to the FDA. And then the FDA spends a bunch of time and resources within their own labs investigating and testing and then finally approving after extensive testing. Am I correct in saying the FDA themselves do not test anything? They just take in testing that was done usually at the behest of the pharmaceutical companies. And so pharmaceutical companies are able to do 100 tests and things and then submit the 8 best ones. I'm kind of making these numbers up. You may be more clear on, you know, what the protocol is. But the FDA does not do any independent testing of their own, do they?
No, they don't.
Yeah.
Sometimes they will test lot numbers of different medications for contamination.
Once it's on the market.
Right, right. But what they do is they take the industry, so the pharmaceutical company pays for their own studies. So basically during drug development, they find different study investigators in the academia or medical sphere, and they hold these studies. Any study or trial that doesn't have a positive effect, they can completely cancel. And
right.
This is what Merck did with the Vioxx study. They can completely cancel it and not tell anybody.
And a lot of these
get information on all of the studies and trials that went wrong. They only cherry pick the best ones, and usually that's the ones with the most enthusiastic, we'll call it, study investigator. Oh, yes, sure, we'll just say these side effects weren't related. And the study investigators that are willing to go the extra mile to ensure positive results, those are the ones that will then be shown to the FDA. And the FDA doesn't ask for the backup set of data. Usually they trust the pharmaceutical industry to present the data as it was actually compiled. They don't analyze the backup data in every case. So, you know, the FDA is relying on pharmaceutical-funded studies, and they do not look at the real science. Usually after drugs are submitted, and a lot of independent science researchers see safety signals, which it means safety concerns, and that they write studies on it. They do case reports. They, you know, there's a ton of literature out there, but the FDA never looks at that. They only will take information from the pharmaceutical industry that they regulate.
And
it makes no sense.
Right. And aren't some of these, I mean, universities and stuff, some of these places that do some of this research, I mean, they become captured by the pharmaceutical companies. If you give us a bad result, if you let anybody know you had a bad result, then you're going to lose tremendous amount of funding to your lab, whether or not that's university or some kind of independent lab. I mean, they realize, too, that if they go in and keep going back to pharmaceutical companies and going, nope, this one's not going to work, this is a terrible result, I mean, ultimately, they lose their pipeline to the pharmaceutical industry. So the whole system is about this flow of cash. It's not about patient safety.
Not at all. And that's what my main goal in life is, to create a healthier world and get people to be empowered about their health and not just put it on the shelf. Oh, my doctor's taking care of that. No, your doctor is not taking care of that. He's not taking care of your health. He's taking care of his profits and the pharmaceutical industry profits. So we need to really have a separation where people challenge their doctor, they question their doctor, they do their own research, they take back control of their health, because nobody else is going to do it for you. And you know, that is exactly, your point is exactly right. When studies come out, and I remember there was a great study that came out on the link between the hepatitis B vaccine and type 1 diabetes, Italian researcher, and it came out in the, you know, the mid-1990s, and it, you know, had a little bit of fanfare at that point because the media was less captured then. And immediately that investigator lost his position, and he was forced to move to England. He was, you know, shunned from the society, from all of the science. Well, you know, the pharmaceutical company went in there and harassed him, defended
right.
him, moved to England, and had to change his complete focus, research focus. And that was the last study you ever saw of his. Even though he was super passionate about it, he presented it at a conference. And it was, you know, this is what happens. And that was back in the 90s. It's even much, much
yeah.
worse now.
Right.
So, you know, even through the Vioxx scandal, there was an article that was written based on discovery out of a court case in Australia that showed Merck internal documents that were discrediting, and, you know, doctors who spoke out against Vioxx. And there was an entire plan to ridicule them and discredit them in the place where they lived. So they had reps, you know, talking to other doctors, discrediting these doctors. They had, you know, their peers saying things, all of this coordinated plan. So it's really a difficult environment for academics and even doctors to speak out, even when they see the carnage that's happening and they see the health damage and they connect the dots.
Yeah.
Many will just be silent because their entire career and everything they've worked for and possibly, you know, their family and their mortgage, it's all on the line.
Right. We're expecting that. That's why I say heaven bless the whistleblowers. We just need more of them. Sometimes people are convinced that they're bad people on national security or pharmaceuticals or any of this stuff. Man, we need more and more whistleblowers. We got one more segment left. We're talking to Brandi Vaughn. She has got a website called learntherisk.org. There's a lot of great statistics on there, a lot of good information. I urge you to go and visit that website, learntherisk.org. We got one more segment with Brandi, so stay with us. We'll be right back. Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424. All right, final segment, talking to Brandy Vaughn, former pharmaceutical insider. And would you call yourself a whistleblower now, Brandy? Is that how you would refer to yourself?
You know, a lot of people do. I wish I had whistleblower status in terms of protection, federal protection. I don't.
Yeah.
And I do get intimidated often. And pharmaceutical industry basically lets me know every day that they're watching. And they crack down on me in any ways and make my life difficult. So technically, I'm not a whistleblower, as in I don't have federal whistleblower status. I didn't sue the company that I worked for. But, yes, I have insider information that people need to hear.
Yeah. We're talking about your website. You've got learntherisk.org, and you've got interesting statistics on there. Don't have time to go through them. I've only got a couple of minutes left here. The fourth leading cause of death in the U.S. is taking prescription pills as directed.
Yes.
About 128,000 people die from drugs prescribed to them in the U.S. Is that an annual number?
That's annually. And you know what, Steve? It's not on that page that you're referencing. The number third leading cause of death, according to experts who have actually tallied the numbers, are medical errors.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you combine the prescription drugs correctly taken, correctly prescribed, and the medical errors, usually hospital errors that they cover up, if you combine those, I would say that the medical industry and the pharmaceutical industry is one of the leading causes of death, if not the leading cause of death in the U.S.
I mean, you know, yeah, and I think it's Dr. Joel Wallach it's an interesting guy, but he has made a point constantly. He said if there was an airline or if the air industry was killing, you know, a few hundred thousand people a year were dying in plane crashes, we would probably stop and say something's going wrong here. Yet the medical system, we just whistle past the graveyard, literally past the graveyard, and don't pay attention to those things. So
and people thank their doctors for all of those, you know, those five drugs that they're on.
Yeah.
They thank the doctors saving their life with them. It's amazing.
Yeah, it really is. And again, I say, you know, God love doctors. Many of them get into that business to help people. They are captured in a system that maybe even they don't realize is so heavily controlled. They should. I'm stunned that they don't, but I'm trying to give them a little bit of slack here. But the arrogance of the medical system, the constant platitude that we have the greatest medical system in the world, these things are just said like that we're supposed to just accept them when we just look at the disease rates that go on in this country. And with such a wealthy country and such an advanced society here, you would think we would be heading in the right direction, and we are going 180 degrees in the wrong direction, yet they cling to the statistic, oh, we have the greatest advancement, the greatest healthcare system in the world. It is patently not true. Brandy, tell us where people can find you and find your information. I know you've done a lot of videos, those kinds of things.
Yes, so you can find us all. We're still on Facebook, thank God. We're on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and we have a great website. You can find all the social media links from there, learntherisk.org. So it's learntherisk, not plural, RISK.org. And I have a lot of information on there. And I also have a great section on detoxing, which we all need to do.
Yeah,
and I want
right.
to leave people on the note that you can take back your health. You can become healthier. You can get off most, if not all, of the meds that you're on. You just have to find the natural solutions that work for you. And the information is out there.
Amen,
so
sister.
Do your own research. Be your own advocate for your health, because nobody else is really going to going to be that.
And you just read the introduction to my own show. And real quickly, you know, you said, thank goodness you're still on, you know, online and on YouTube. Didn't they just come out with an they're starting to censor anti-vaccination videos, aren't they, on YouTube?
Yes. And so we have a lot less reach, but you can still find our channel for now. And we need to really move towards alternative media, those of us who really understand the censorship that's going on.
All right. Well, we're out of time. That's Brandi Vaughn, LearnTheRisk.org. Thanks, everybody. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.